8:40 a.m. Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Alex Murdaugh's murder trial is now in the hands of a jury in South Carolina following 2 days of closing arguments. Prosecutors say Murdaugh killed his wife and son to cover up drug and financial problems.
They blame everybody but Alex. Everybody but Alex.
But defense attorney Jim Griffin says prosecutors are so determined to convict Murdaugh, they lied about evidence.
That is their theory of the case. If you don't accept that, beyond a reasonable doubt, ladies and gentlemen, I submit the verdict has to be not guilty.
Murdaugh faces 30 years to life in prison. The Justice Department says former President Trump can be sued by Capitol Police officers and lawmakers injured on January 6th, despite Trump's immunity claims. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
It might be hard for the court to draw lines now as to when the president's actions would cross into liable conduct. But saying that a president can do whatever he wants and not face legal consequences, at least a lawsuit, would be an extreme ruling by the court. And I think the court's aware of that.
President Biden says he will not allow D.C. to lower penalties for some violent crimes.
The White House says the president viewed the D.C. law as unacceptable.
Lowering penalties for carjacking, he doesn't believe that's going to keep our community safe.
Still, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre insists.
The president still thinks that D.C. should become the 51st state.
Statehood advocates are furious at Mr. Biden. Statehood opponents say the episode proves their case, that the D.C. Council should not be given the power of a state legislature. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, The White House.
Senator Dianne Feinstein has been admitted to a hospital in California now to get treatment for shingles. The 89-year-old was diagnosed with the virus late last month and is expected to make a full recovery. Shingles is a painful rash that usually develops in older adults who've had chickenpox. Spring forward, fall back, Congress could scrap it all.
This is the latest attempt to make daylight saving time permanent. It's called the Sunshine Protection Act. GOP Senator Marco Rubio introduced the bill. Democrat Ed Markey is a co-sponsor. A similar proposal died in the House last year after being approved by the Senate. The main opposition comes from farmers who find daylight saving time counterproductive.
That's CBS's Steve Futterman.
And liftoff, a crew pick. Go Dragon, go Falcon.
4 astronauts will arrive at the International Space Station tomorrow after a successful SpaceX launch this morning in Florida. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Republicans say they have to be careful with Wisconsin's $7 billion budget surplus. Senator Howard Markwine says the surplus is made up of a lot of one-time money.
This two-year budget with all that one-time cash there, you know, anybody could put that budget together. I think it's going to be to do it in a manner that is sustainable well into the future.
Mark Lang tells WisPolitics.com the state will have to increase pay for state workers to stay competitive and keep up with inflation. Assembly Speaker Robin Moss says he's considering proposing tolls to Wisconsin interstates to pay for road construction and maintenance. The idea of tollways in Wisconsin has been bandied about for years but hasn't found much support. In sports, the Bucks beat Orlando last night for their 16th win in a row. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUK. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
NETOGO.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Cotton cup, any cup,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we're coming live from Macho Hodus, the studio here in St. Paul, Minnesota, and we're all beamed all over Civic Media Network, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Ogama, you know this, don't you? Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And we all know this portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, Ogama, I hate to tell you, the show is taken over by Roberts today, and you're the only other person here. So I don't know if we're going to change the name to Robert's Show, because we have Robert Lilligren of NADKE and Robert Blake, which I like to call Bob Blake from Red Lake, with Solar Bear today, and then along with me, Robert Pilot. So you're on your own island there, but how do you feel about that?
You know, I think I can get behind it, just because Robert's really not a common name for people who present as a female gender. But, you know, it's all good. I think the Roberts is always a good show. All of you have great things to say.
Well, hey, thanks. There'll be a little something in your envelope next week, so I appreciate that compliment. And, hey, before we get too deep into this, I just want to give a shout-out to everybody out there. And I also want to talk about what you do, Ogama, and you do the news that you don't hear anywhere else. And we're really happy and happy to have you on each day and speaking the truth all over Turtle Island. So let's get with it here with Ogama with the news.
I'm on mute. Hi. Bonjour, relatives. This is Ogama Ganuakwe. I'm a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and I have some news and information for you here on Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We have not touched in and talked a lot about Stop Line 3. You know, Line 3's construction, unfortunately, happened here in Minnesota, and we haven't really had a lot of time to touch on the events that are still going on, even though construction was completed here. So upcoming events in the month of March for Flood the Courts from Stop Line 3, great events that are coming up March 8th, 9th, and 10th at 8:30 a.m. That is going to be at the Duluth, St. Louis County District Court in Duluth. They're going to be supporting multiple defendants in the fight against Line 3 because they're going to be facing a 3-day jury trial on March 8th. Court is set to begin at 8:30 a.m. Central Time at the St. Louis County District Court, which is located at 100 North 5th Avenue West in Duluth, Minnesota. It will be on the fourth floor in courtroom one. please be aware if you're going to join for these court support events that unfortunately courts are subject to sudden changes. So check your email if you haven't already signed up for the court support emails. You can check there and make sure that you try to get any updates you can before before you travel. There's also a virtual Flood the Court for Clearwater Courts for BA Grandma Jill. She'll have a Zoom pre-trial and then a Zoom jury trial. BA Grandma is asking you to join her in solidarity in court as she faces charges for resisting Line 3 in Clearwater County. The Zoom is available again on the Flood the Courts support website. I'm not going to read out all the Zoom information, but I can put it in the chat if there's anybody who would like that information. So that's for the pretrial for Clearwater County. And then Thursday and Friday, March 30th and 31st, starting at 8:30 a.m., is the jury trial for BA Grandma Jill. She took her third stand to protect sacred water at the Mississippi headwaters. And she's unfortunately already paid a dear price for her action here in Minnesota. During one of her arrests, she was damaged. She was injured by a police officer, and she's dealing with chronic pain and possibly permanent injury from that. And she said that despite the arrest, she is consoled by the presence of people joining her. So they are going to rally in person for the trial on March 30th and 31st in Clearwater County outside the courthouse. That is going to be at the Clearwater County Courthouse at 213 Main Avenue North, number 303 in Bagley, Minnesota. Her jury trial will start at 9 a.m., but the rally starts at 8:30. And she'll have a necessity defense and an account of suffering five severe pain compliance incidences during her efforts to try to stop rights violations perpetuated by the completion of the tar sands pipeline line 3. There are upcoming dates that are really important too. There's all day Zoom support for Aiken County on March 23rd. Aiken County, Minnesota has the most open cases of any county related to the Line 3 protest, and water protectors with open cases in this county have had to wait an exorbitant amount of time for the state to respond. Beginning March 23rd at 9 a.m. Central, there will be back-to-back hearings for most of the day, and the majority of which will be Rule 8 hearings, which is the first hearing after an arraignment. And you can show support for these water protectors who have been in legal limbo now for 2 years. Again, that's March 23rd, Zoom court support in Aiken County. There's going to be support for water protectors in Aiken County in person on March 31st, and you can support water protectors at the in-person contested omnibus hearing on March 31st, starting in the morning at the Aiken County Courthouse. You can support water protector Don Goodwin in person on April 4th. Don Goodwin will have a rescheduled hearing on April 4th at the Aiken County Courthouse at 9 a.m. Central. There will be more information coming up on that soon. And Tara Hauska has in-person support scheduled for April 5th. She will be in a motion hearing at Aiken County Courthouse on April 5th at 1:30 p.m. Central, and more details will come of that in the future for Flood the Court email announcements. If you haven't yet, go on over to actionnetwork.org and find the campaign Receive Line 3 Flood the Courts updates. You should be able to just do a quick search in the upper right that says Flood the Courts, and it'll bring it right up for you. And you can get those emails and updates to know when and where to show up to support water protectors who put it all on the line during the Line 3 pipeline. I also wanted to talk a little bit, Robert, and I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but are you familiar with like the crying Indian video or the crying Indian GIF? Robert,
are you Are you talking about the Italian dude from the 70s with the pollution? Or
yes, the old pollution commercial. So
he was crying. You know, he saw the lands being trashed, and he had a big old teardrop in his eye, and he was wearing buckskin, and he was tanned and looking good. Yeah, that's him looking good.
That would be it. So this ad has been deemed inappropriate after it's been transferred to the National Congress of American Indians, which, you know, even for its debut in 1971, it was probably inappropriate there as well. It's from an old anti-pollution ad, which shows the person in native attire shedding a single tear when they look at pollution, smokestacks, and litter taking over the land. And it's really been a big piece of TV and pop culture, even for Native people. And it's just kind of generally referred to as the crying Indian. And it made the actor Iron Eyes Cody a recognizable face in households. But the nonprofit originally that commissioned the advertisement, which was called Keep America Beautiful, has been considering how to retire the ad. And they announced this week that it's doing so by transferring the ownership rights to the National Congress of American Indians. And they are going to retire it for good. So, you know, I think that's good news. And it's long overdue. Right, Robert?
Yeah, and I agree. We're cutting into commercial time here, but I do know that he was really active in the Native community. He also adopted Native children, so it's a long and windy story with him. It's a very interesting story, but that's good that they brought it back to the community. Hey, we'll be right back with Robert, one of the Roberts. Well, guess which one when they come on. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. Ho-wa.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Development Institute.
Hey, we got Robert Lilligren with us, and we haven't talked to Robert in a long time. It seems like a long time. A lot of things happening all over. A lot of great things happening at the Minnesota State Capitol. Welcome, Robert Lilligren. And I don't know if you saw Ogama's note in the chat there. Robert Blake will be on next, and it will be the Robert Show.
Right. It's Robert squared, right? Or Robert, tripled.
So how have you been? What's going on the Avenue? What's going on with your organization? We always want to bring that up, too, that you're the CEO of the Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities, Minnesota. We always like to touch base and talk a little politics, reminisce about how old we are and things like that, or how young we are. Oh,
I like that better. Bonjour, Ogamaga, bonjour, Robert. So nice to be here. And it has been a while since you and I talked. Had the last 2 weeks off, and then before that, you were traveling. That's the week that Ogama produced the NACD show. And that went really well. That was fun to talk about our work.
And I was listening to that, and I gotta just say, the Valley of the Dolls, the person that works with you. I mean, I knew people from that. I mean, what a small world here in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Isn't it? Yeah, when I was interviewing him, because he'd been living in South Dakota for a while. We're talking about John Williams, who's our development director at NACD, and he's just great. He's like a superstar. But he got his start in the development and nonprofit world with Ballet of the Dolls, an old dance company, sort of an avant-garde ballet company here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis back in the 80s, 1980s. Wow. Maybe the 90s. No, I think it was the 80s.
Late 80s.
Yeah. And so John and I figure that we were probably in the same room or maybe at the same crazy parties together at some point. But we haven't quite pinned it down if we'd met back then. But I'd be surprised if we didn't.
It's crazy because I went to high school with a professional ballerina that was in that, too.
In Valley of the Dolls?
A small world. I was listening to the show. And not critiquing. You guys are veterans. We were figuring we've been on, Native Roots Radio has been on over 700, had over 700 shows.
Wow.
And thinking back, the last few, you've been on like 3 years, so you got to be, you got to be in there in the hundreds.
It seems like more.
Easy. Hey, you mentioned when we were texting a little bit before the show that, you know, I've been running around doing some stuff.
You've been a very busy guy.
I was at Wounded Knee, and what really struck me, and I said this earlier, was that from these young people that went there, and I mean, they got the call, just like Standing Rock and all these other things that have happened over the years. And some of them just came back for the first time in 50 years. And I talked to quite a few, and I think of ordinary people doing extraordinary things, you know, and then carrying that work with them the rest of their life and how important that was. And I think you and I see that quite often, but we don't call it out in a good way.
Yeah, well, and we try to call it out, right? I mean, I just was so impressed with some of the social media I saw from you all out at Wounded Knee, you know, for the 50th anniversary of the second occupation. And it just, I've been there. It's such a solemn place, you know, it's heavy. But I was so impressed with the generations that were out when you were out there and how many young people were out there with the elders. And so it's very gratifying, right, to feel that generational continuity that, and then to see the enthusiasm and the energy and passion of some of those young folks that were there and see like, okay, things are going to be okay.
Right. And it may be called something else. It may not be called American Indian Movement. It may be called something else, but American Indian Movement, I think going there reminded me of, if you think you're AIM, you are AIM, and you don't need a card or anything to prove that. So the old schoolers were there too, you know, that are still around.
Well, and then some generational, you know, some families, right? Pat Bellinger, you know, one of the mothers of AIM, and then Lisa Bellinger, who's leading the efforts here now. And to see that, you know, generations, legacies like that, that's something.
It really is. I don't know if you caught the newspaper today, the Minneapolis paper, but there was a big article about it. And the author and the photographer, we were, John Anderson and I were hanging out with a lot, and amazing article, kind of, you know, what we're talking about, mending and bridging generations here, you know. A lot of Ames swag, and it was, everyone was wearing American Indian Movement swag, which was amazing to see.
It looked great, right? It made me, yeah, I did see the article, and they had that wonderful photo gallery as well. I saw a few of them with you and him, Robert, so... Good work jumping in front of the camera. But yeah, seeing all that AIM swag, that made me think, oh, I got to dig out my AIM stuff, you know,
yeah.
My AIM swag. But one thing I really liked about the Star Tribune article, the Minneapolis Star Tribune article, was, you know, front and center, which was nice.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, they hung the story along, you know, the lines of sort of Lisa Bellinger's story, you know, a second generation leader, AIM leader. And then a young activist sister Thunder, Rachel. Thunder. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I liked that it was showing this kind of generational piece, but also the emphasis on women's leadership.
Yeah. Right?
And I know that you moderated a panel on the women of AIM while you were out there, and I just like, good.
Right.
I'm glad that that's what, you know, was kind of the core of the story.
You know, and it was amazing too. You know, Ogama and I have worked with Warrior Women Project over the years, and that's how we know Madonna Thunderhawk and her sister and her daughter. Sure. And it's like old home week to see them. It's nothing but good energy and laughs. But those guys, well, let me back up a second. There were lawyers there that were in their 20s that just got out of law school to work on this case because of all the people getting arrested after after that. And it was amazing. You know, they're in their 70s now, and it started their career with helping the American Indian Movement and helping the women. And it was like watching old home week, people showing up that hadn't seen each other in years. But also people that didn't know that they were there at the same time and met later on in life. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Just all these different.
Trippy.
Yeah, really trippy. I think that's the way to go, because they were all in their own bunkers. Like Madonna Thunderhawk's son was 10. And they didn't expect to, what I found out this weekend is they did not expect to be there. Or occupy Wounded Knee. It's the police and the armored people started shooting at them, and they had to take cover when they were there. And she said, I would never have a 10-year-old do this.
Sure, sure, yeah. Well, those are some stories, huh?
That right.
It felt like you were in the currents of history while you were out there.
And I love history, so that really was my jam. So what's going on in the Avenue? What's going on with Robert Liljegren?
Yeah, there's a lot going on down here. And one of the things that's kind of roiling throughout the community here, and it's actually mentioned in the Star Tribune article about the Wounded Knee trip, is the issues around a development that's planned right here in the Native community, right next to Little Earth of United Tribes, which is sort of the residential heart and hub of our Native community here. And there's a conflict between the community's interests and desires and that of the city government. And it's really come to a head these last few weeks because Minneapolis City Council voted to demolish the building, which the community fears, has valid fears about it releasing more toxins and contaminants into the air. And the area that we're talking about is probably the most contaminated land that anyone lives on in the state. The communities that live in this heavily contaminated area suffer all these chronic health issues. This is Little Earth of United Tribes is right there. There's up to and including death. People die from some of the contamination, the toxins and the contamination. And the community has a vision to reuse this site that's consistent with the city's policies. It's in a green zone of the city of Minneapolis, but the city just seems hell-bent on not listening to the community. And so our community has stood up. They've occupied the site. They've marched on City Hall. AIM has been playing a central role in this as well, some of the folks that are in the article that you were in. So it's been a hot week here.
Yeah. Yeah, some people didn't want to come to the Wounded Knee, like Rachel, because of what was going down. But sure, they got that court order in the state Supreme Court. But let's talk more. I guess this is the Robert show, and with Ogama, Native Roots Radio, and we're going to have Robert Blake on soon. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Ho-wa.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Closing arguments wrap today, which means Alec Murdaugh's fate is now in the hands of a jury in South Carolina.
Once you begin deliberations, you will deliberate until you have reached a verdict.
Murdaugh faces 30 years to life in prison for the deaths of his wife and son. The U.S. is meeting with Russia for the first time in months in India ahead of the G20 meeting. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
Mutual compliance is in the interest of both our countries.
Millions of people now bracing for a stronger winter storm in Texas, too. It's the same system that rocked parts of California with record snow. KSLA reporter Michael Barnes is in Texarkana.
We have to prepare for the worst and hope for the best in emergency management.
Michael Godfrey is the director of the Miller County Office of Emergency Management. This morning, Godfrey was making equipment checks ahead of the bad weather expected later this evening.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinair. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin taxpayers could be on the hook for nearly $2.5 million after a Dane County judge ordered Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to pay legal fees to American Oversight. The Washington-based group successfully sued to get records from former Justice Michael Gableman's probe into alleged fraud in the 2020 presidential election. Meanwhile, Gableman has billed taxpayers over $500,000 for his review, which ultimately found no proof of voter fraud. Prices remain high for nearly everything. The U.S. Department of Agriculture found January food prices were 10% higher than at the same time last year. Eggs are among the items that have gone up the most, due in large part to a highly contagious avian flu. Egg prices are 70% higher than in 2022, and a dozen grade A large eggs are double what they cost you last year. I'm Jane Matinair. This is Civic Media News.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good.
E2Go.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic, honoring culture and tradition.
Right on, Ogama. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren from a Native American Community Development Institute. And Robert, I kind of took up your segment there, so I think I'm going to start asking you questions.
it's always fun talking. Yep.
You know, one of the things, there's a lot going, good things going on at the Capitol with our friends there. And what really sticks out in your mind here in the last few weeks?
Some of it is about what's really impacting us right here in the urban community and in the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And then the project that we were talking about just before the break, even the Roof Depot project, has made an appearance at the Capitol as well. It just cleared its first hurdle for some funding for the community's vision from House Committee. So wow. You know, that's good to hear. Yeah. And then we have an effort that's called the Urban Indian Legacy Initiative, UILI, that's really being led by Dr. Joe Hobart of the American Indian OIC. But there's some 36 participating Native orgs seeking greater capital investment in the urban Indian organizations. We all have this aging infrastructure. We all need capital infusion, and it's been very, some success. And so it's a very organized effort, lobbying effort. There'll be a day at the Hill, Capitol Hill. And so that's exciting to watch that make its way through and to see our folks over there advocating for our community.
Yeah, Robert, you know, you've been in the political game yourself for many years. I don't know. Well, I'm going to say nationally, too. I don't know if I've seen so much get done so fast. And that has to do with Biden, too. I mean, he was vice president for 8 years and had been in Congress for, I don't know, 40 years before that. It's amazing how much stuff he's getting done, but the least credit he's getting from the other side. And again, here in Minnesota, all the things that are getting done, I don't think I've ever seen stuff like this could happen so quick.
Right. And I mean, on the federal level and with President Biden, there's people just kind of tamping that record down, you know, and when you see what's actually gotten done during his first term as president, it's impressive. And that can be pulled out during the campaign and really sort of dusted off, and people can be made aware of that. But you're right. I don't think he's getting the credit that he deserves. But here, man, it's just going crazy. And if folks know, we had what we call the trifecta for our last election for the first time in, 12 years. Our governor, our state senate, and our state house are all under Democratic control. And the leadership was clear. We want, how did the speaker of our state house, Melissa Hartman, said, we want maximum efficiency in our legislating, you know? And I'm sure some people don't like what's getting passed, but I think people like when stuff gets passed.
Yeah.
And stuff happens. And, you know, usually we watch our split governments sit for a session, not getting much accomplished. Then in the final hours of the session, they try to get everything accomplished.
Right.
And then they can't. And so it's a special session, or what happened last year. There was no special session, so nothing got accomplished.
Right.
So I see something happen. So stuff is happening here, and it's happening quickly. Good stuff.
You know, and to back up what you said earlier in the last segment about the young ones, again, Gen Z saved our rears. They outvoted us old boomers, you know, right? I'm right on the cusp there, and I know you're a boomer, too. And that's really good to hear, and they're paying attention. Especially to those things like college, healthcare. I mean, if you could get universal healthcare, that would change the world and the workforce.
Right. And our country's health, right? We have the most costly healthcare system in the world, and we have about the worst health outcomes of any industrialized nation. And it's such a disconnect. We pay the most for the worst, right? And
exactly.
So, but these, you're right about these young people, and really the younger people are the largest in voting block, right? They're now, or close to the largest, but they're deciding elections, and they should, right? It's their future. Exactly. So how do we lift those voices up? How do we, you know, guide folks without being obstructionists? And yeah, this is an interesting political time. And we're gearing up for next year too. As you know, we have our Make Voting a Tradition, and we're involved in voter outreach and political engagement at the local level. By 2024, we'll have some statewide partners, and that's all ramping up already. So
yeah,
doing our part.
It should be, and it's amazing too that the young ones are. I was thinking, you know, the problems and the things that, you know, maybe the older generation and the right wing worry about is second nature to our Gen Zers, and they don't care about the petty stuff that they do. They want people are people, you know, from all the way up and down. And so that's good. We need to get out of their way and pave a good way for the young ones.
Yeah, and support them, right?
Right.
And that's kind of what's going on right here in the community with this development project I was talking about. We call it the Roof Depot Project in the community.
Right.
And you have these different sectors of our community all coming together to stand with each other. And I think that's so good for us to be shoulder to shoulder, to appreciate the space that somebody, you know, I don't do direct action that much anymore, but direct activists are really paving the way, right? They're an important part of the movement. And then people like me who have access to policymakers and things, you know, I'm playing a role, and artists are playing a role,
right?
To really see, appreciate, respect, and support each other's roles. And I haven't seen it come together quite like this here since the hideous scaffold project at the
Walmart
Arts Center Sculpture, where everyone came together. You know, we in the community, it was very robust and rambunctious, but we all united behind one message: bring it down. Everyone did their part, you know, and we were so successful. So it just, to me, there's a little bit of that right now, where if we can figure out how to keep standing together, I think we have the greatest opportunity for success, and then we're best set up for whatever comes next as a unified community.
I asked Madonna Thunderhawk in Wounded Knee, because there was a lull of people, and I remember her telling me this a few years ago, and where are all the activists? Where are they? And I asked her about that, and she said, you know, people that are raising their children are warriors. People that are on their keyboards are warriors. People that are cleaning, you know, so we're all warriors doing the best we can. We don't all have to be on the front line. And that's important to hear, because, you know, that's a veteran that's been everywhere from Alcatraz to everything, from Alcatraz to Line 3.
Right. Right. And to acknowledge other people's contributions. And early on in my activist days, my organizing days, I had a realization that whatever someone can bring is enough. Right. That is just enough. If that's what you could bring, and to respect that, you know, not everyone is like us, always running it and finding more stuff to do.
Yeah, I'm wondering why my back's sore. And it's like, oh, you've been standing for 10 hours.
That could be going on aches and pains.
Right.
Too.
Hey, Robert, I'm going to bring on Robert Blake and then make this a trifecta here, too. And the last couple minutes here with you, and Solar Bear with the Solar News is coming on soon. Robert, good to see you. It's all three of us and Ogama. And Ogama looks sad and outnumbered, if you can. But great talk as always. Robert, how do you want to leave us today? What else? Do you got a 30-second?
Which Robert?
Yeah. Well, that one says Bob Blake from Red Lake, so I'm going with White Earth Ojibwe there. Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, first up, I got to say, hey, Robert. Hey, Bob. Nice to see you. It's been a while, so cool. And then I like this moody lighting that you have in your shot. Very dramatic.
It's kind of Kurtz from Apocalypse Now going on over there, if you ever. An old reference, sorry.
Cool. So I guess I'll just say, as I depart, that, you know, now what we're starting to do, we're planning for American Indian Month here. In American Indian Month, we have May in Minnesota, and the Twin Cities is American Indian Month. So kind of stay tuned. There's a lot of planning going on. There's going to be a ride, I understand. So there'll be horses. We'll have a march and things and other Indian Month activities. And then all the open houses, Bob, or Robert, as you're familiar with, you know, the open houses, all the Native orgs hold open houses. So stay tuned. More to come.
That's great. And Bob Blake from Red Lake, do you have anything to say to Robert Lilligren and or Robert Pilot before we wrap up this segment? We got a couple more minutes.
Oh, man. I was just going to say, well, hey, do you guys remember John Trudell
said that
there was going to be like in the future, like Warriors were going to be like, you know, indifferent, you know, we were going to be like bankers or I mean, not bankers, but like lawyers and, you know what I mean? Like there was going to be all these different types of ways that we were all going to contribute. Like you said, Robert, you know what I mean? And John Trudell was talking about that. Like we weren't going to be just like in front of everybody, but we were all going to be merging in with different types of, you know, gifts, you know, so to speak. So yeah, I just remember John Trudell saying that.
Thanks for bringing that up, Bob. And I got to say, it's we're all marching into bellies of beasts. They just might be different beasts. And to really respect that. And so if it's, you know, we have a lieutenant governor, Ojibwe sister, you know, we got to support her. She's not in a friendly environment. And then we have activists, like we were talking about Rachel Thunder, or, you know, people who are willing to put themselves in harm's way. And we need to support those people, too. And so how do we figure out to be united in supporting across those kinds of sectors? I'm really intrigued at that these days.
Yeah. Yeah, really good point. And I think, you know, we're kind of in not the front line, but we're in the behind line watching and interviewing and the people that are moving and grooving like yourselves, both yourselves and Rachel Thunder's been on the show a bunch of times, especially since what's been going down. But hey, Robert Lilligren, thank you so much as always for being on. Right on. And up next, we got Bob Blake from Red Lake, where we have Robert Blake with the Solar Bear with the Solar News. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Hey, we got Bob howling again. That's awesome. Hey, that's Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we're here with Robert Blake of the Solar Bearer with the solar news. And it's good to see you, Bob. It's been a while. You know, what do you got for us this beautiful day here?
Yeah, Robert, there is hot off the press, Robert. The Department of Energy is directing $350 million into rural areas, specifically tribal nations, tribal communities, to help them with capacity building. So what this means basically, Robert, is there is now funding available from the Department of Energy for specifically tribal communities to now plan and to basically do their due diligence for these, renewable energy projects. And the development, Robert, you know, if I can just say, takes a lot of money and it takes a lot of effort. And, you know, a lot of the times, you know, what we have to do is we have to get, you know, soil samples, we have to get engineering studies, we have to figure out exactly where we can interconnect the projects, what substations can handle the electricity load that we're going to be putting onto it. So there's a lot of due diligence that has to happen when you're doing these really big utility scale projects, and that costs, you know, that costs money to do, and that takes studies. And so I'm really, really happy to see this from the Department of Energy. And it was one of my critiques of them early on, that you're going to give tribes all this money, but you're not going to give them any money to develop the project. Like, right. It's like, and then, of course, one of my other gripes about, you know, this is, you know, that, you know, we need to be able to interconnect into the grid. So connecting our projects, you know, onto the transmission lines, and not be set in a queue where we have to sit there for like 2 years. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So these things are now being addressed and they're being taken place. And I want to applaud the Department of Energy for taking the step, because tribes now can apply for this money. They can use it to develop their own projects, pay their engineers. You know, you don't have to find a solar developer who is going to like charge you a bunch of money to do it. The tribes can do it themselves, you know, with some guidance. And so this is a really good thing, Robert. And so I'm really happy to see this happen today.
I'm excited. And also, you can bring that knowledge to my nation, too, because we're going to have you talk to our group. And one of the key things, as you know, my background is probably avoiding work. So I don't know anything about solar energy or renewable energies. And we have to bring people in that do know, like yourself, or you know people, or you know, because we also have the wind, we also have the hydro, and all those things I'm clueless about. You know, I'm just like, so we have to bring the experts in, so that allows us, what you're talking about allows us to do that.
Yeah, and like I said, Robert, this money now that became available today is really huge, because now tribes now can apply for this. And mm-hmm. and they can use that to use that for development, right? So you can pay the experts, so you can pay those people that understand, you know, how to go do the soil samples and, you know, make sure that, you know, that where you're putting your project, you know, isn't gonna, you know, be in an area also too where, you know, there's you know, burial remains or just anything, artifacts, you know what I mean? Just like those things have to happen. And so, I'm really happy to see this. And I hope all the people out there that are listening, please let your tribal nation know that this money's now available, and to apply for it. And well, hire Solar Bear.
Yeah. Well, there you go, Solar Bear. You know, we talked years ago about when the sun goes down, the wind blows, and you know, how do we keep that going? Where, and especially, you know, do we do batteries? And we really want to go towards hemp batteries, and they're not ready yet. And do we get ready for those? And those things that, you know, really help Mother Earth too in a big way, because you have the people that are pushing back a little bit on what these renewables are made out of. And but we've talked about how much that what it's better, you know, the planet's burning. We need to do something, and we need to do something for our next generation and the next seven generations.
Yes, Robert, you're so correct. Like, just act, right? Just do something. Like, that's what I ask every tribal government. Don't, it doesn't have to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect, but do something. You know what I mean? And,
right.
And so whether it's just installing a solar system on top of your government building,
exactly.
Whether and the beauty about solar is that you can scale up. So you can start with a house, and then you can, you know, put a microgrid together with 10 houses. And then, you know, or you can just start with one building, and then you can add on to other buildings. And so it doesn't have to be some grandiose plan, but you just have to start. You know what I mean? And what happens then is momentum picks up, and people in the community get interested. And they want to be a part of it. And then now you got community buy-in, right? And other people want to be involved. And so they start taking the load basically off of your shoulders because they want to help and they want to be a part of it. And so that's my advice to, you know, the different, you know, communities, tribal communities that are listening to this, is just start with one project. Just start with one project. That's it. Just get one thing done and then move from there. Because you're going to find people in your community that want to be a part of this. And that's the beauty of this, is that our people can learn this, and we can take this knowledge and we can use it and we can, you know, get the rest of other community members to be involved. So just start with your project.
Well, and then, you know, look forward to maybe being your own energy consortium or whatever, but start little steps. I get a weird happy feeling because I was down on Wounded Knee, and on the way there, that farm, seeing these huge, huge wind farms out there, and you just kind of go, oh, wow, that's cool. Or whenever I drive somewhere, I see a lot of solar panels on somebody's land, it kind of gets me like happy and prideful.
Yeah, right? Because that's like that positive energy that's coming into the community, right? And that's what I say, right? Like us natives, you know, we're in the gaming business, which is a $1 billion business, but there's a lot of negativity that's attached or aura that's attached to that capital. And can you imagine if we started switching to renewables? And what type of positive aura that capital is going to bring into our community? You know what I mean? Like that's the thing, like the unseen energy that you can't see, but you know it's there, right? And so that's why I'm so positive about renewable energy and what I think that it can do for our communities and for all communities, actually. So I hope to see more and more tribes and communities switch to renewables.
Yes, and you'll help our tribe here, and we'll talk about it someday here on the show, because we're ready and ready to move, and especially with today's news. Robert, thanks for being on. Robert Lilligren, thanks for being on. Ogma Pinigigi for the news and all the work you do. If you're listening to this show, you are part of the resistance. You need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.
Pacific Media promised you something big to celebrate our new and still growing network of radio stations. When we announced the one-day million-dollar advertising giveaway for Wisconsin businesses, you responded.
Just wanted to echo your sentiments about the advertising. That's really a cool deal and really remarkable.
$1 million of free advertising. Now, if you missed this chance to work with our team, go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. One of our local sales pros will get right back to you. Civicmedia.us and sponsorship.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAU.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.